This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, 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 back again. Sadie's back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, the two biggest stories really in the sports world come from football, and they don't really even have to do with playing the games, or at least not the X's and O's of playing the games. Get to that coming up. The Morrow Midday Show is brought to you by Baker Roofing. They've been in business for over 100 years, and they're one of the largest, most recognized roofing contractors in the U.S. Baker Roofing provides residential and commercial roofing. And in 1915, they were founded on the promise of always good work. So give our friend Matt Johnson, general manager at Baker Roofing Charleston, a call, or head on over to bakerroofing.com for more information. You could also check out their incredible history and see all the different roofing types that are available online at bakerroofing.com. Over 100 years of always good work, Baker Roofing, bringing you the Morrow Midday Show each and every day. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast, and you can find us there. You can also head over to charlestonsportsradio.com. Click on our show page and find the show available on demand right there. Or head over to your app store. I guess we're still waiting for this on for Droids with the Google app store. But if you have an iPhone, as the majority of people do, you can go to the app store, search ESPN Charleston, and download the app there. And I think it's still not available for Androids just yet. But we see the data. Tons of people are downloading it. We appreciate you. And if you haven't yet, go download the app today, ESPN Charleston in the App Store, and you can listen to the podcast there. Not only can you listen to the Morrow Midday Show live through the app, but the podcasts are also available anytime through the app, ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Okay, in case you missed it, we always get you caught up in the final hour of the show on the biggest stories of the day. And today, the two biggest stories in the sports world both come from the football world as well, which lets you know we're close to the football season. But the two biggest stories, it's not so much about Aaron Rodgers, will he or won't he show up this week. Training camps are starting this week for NFL teams. College football is right around the corner. But instead, the two biggest stories have to deal with matters that are kind of away from the field, and it's our Big Two at Two.
The Big Two at Two, where Luke recaps the two biggest stories of the day right here on the Morrow Midday Show.
Number one was the decision or announcement that Roger Goodell and the NFL made at the end of last week about how games will be forfeited if they cannot be played as scheduled because of a breakout involving unvaccinated players in the NFL. Now, if you read the fine print, it does say we will forfeit games if we cannot reschedule them. I do believe the NFL will try to do everything they can still, much like a year ago, to get these games in. But if it becomes too difficult, where we're talking about, like in certain cases last year, playing on a Wednesday, and then the following game has to be pushed back, altering the schedule, I don't think they're going to bend over backwards this year to do such a thing if, again, it's a breakout because of unvaccinated players. If they're vaccinated players, I think the NFL will still try to do their part to play those games because there's not much more you can do to avoid those types of breakouts. You could try to remove those players because we know the rules aren't as strict for vaccinated guys, and then try to play the next day, kind of like what we saw with the Yankees about 2 weeks ago in Major League Baseball. The majority of their players were vaccinated that tested positive, so they ended up playing the following day, removing the players that tested positive and did not have to do some sort of delay like we saw in the NFL last year, where it's like, well, we have to give it 5 days, and hopefully they can play on Wednesday. But the NFL made this announcement. And with both stories we talk about here in the Big Two at Two, they both come down really to money at the end of the day. And for the NFL, that's why they made this announcement, because they want to try to, for lack of a better term, maybe threaten the players in hopes that they do get vaccinated so that the NFL owners will not miss out on their money by not being able to play these games. That was the choice the NFL made. That we have gotten to a point now where they made the choice, right, where they're choosing money over, say, concern for the vaccine. They don't care if the players are concerned or not. They want these games to be played. They want the money to be made. They're not concerned. That was the choice they made. And in turn, it leads to the choice that has to be made by everyone else involved in the league. Just like you or I have had to make choices since the start of the pandemic. DeAndre Hopkins initially tweeted out his displeasure with this idea from the NFL and said he may not, you know, he may retire. He has him thinking about his future in the league. He then deleted that, said, I still have 9 years left, 9 good years left. I'm not going anywhere. Right? Maybe when he wasn't as emotional. But obviously, of course, you're going to have some players that don't like this idea. But it becomes their choice. What would you choose to do? Get vaccinated or run the risk this year of potentially leading to a forfeit for your team, costing yourself and the other team and your teammates money, or also, depending on your status, putting yourself in a situation in which the team may make a decision based off of this, which is the choice that the teams have. That was the choice the players have. Coaches are the same. We saw two coaches lose their jobs over the weekend because they don't want to get vaccinated. And the rules are you can't be around the team if you're a coach or a front office member unless you're vaccinated. So they were faced with that ultimatum, and they decided, well, we'll at least take this year off and see where we're at in 2022. But choosing to step away from the job instead of getting vaccinated. And then the choice for the teams will be, is this guy worth the risk? Because, again, we do this with everything in our lives. You determine if the juice is worth the squeeze. And most things that you do in a day-to-day life, it is worth it. You know, like driving to work. I remember when I first got my driver's license, I knew somebody who was so afraid of driving on the highway. And they refused for the first, like, 2 years of their license. They wouldn't even go on the highway. They would take a longer path wherever they were going to avoid the highway. That was the choice they made. Was it worth it to get there quicker and driving on the highway? They said no. Eventually, they got out of that fear. They faced their fear, right? And they overcame it. But for their first couple of years of driving, they felt like it's not worth it to get there quicker to have to deal with the highway. Driving faster, other cars are driving faster, higher risk of accidents. I'd rather just take back roads and take a little bit longer. For you and I, and most people that do drive highways every day, you make that choice without even thinking about it. Yes, I'm going to drive to work today. Right? I'm not going to take the bus, or I'm not going to walk. I'm going to get my car. I'm going to drive. There's a risk that an accident could occur on my way there, but I'm willing to take that chance because it's so small. Right? We have to do this with every decision we make. Teams will have to do this. Players will have to do it. And the decision, the choice that the team has to make is when they're cutting down rosters this month. If it comes down to a back-end player where you're not talking about a star, you're not talking about a DeAndre Hopkins or a Patrick Mahomes, but instead, you know, the 50th man on the roster, some sort of backup, and you're choosing between players, I imagine the NFL team front office members would also pick the guy who's vaccinated over the guy who isn't because they don't want that risk on their roster of potentially costing them a game. A game in the standings, a problem in the locker room when guys lose their game check, all for the 52nd man on the roster. Now, you may not like this idea or these rules, but the NFL, they're a private business. They can make these rules just like other companies have done the same. Companies have either told their employees, you know, you have to get vaccinated to come to work here or you can't work here. And it's happened in this state. You may not like it. It may seem like an infringement on people's rights. It's not. It's what the company can do. They can make their own rules. And then it's up to you. You have the choice if you want to follow said rules or not. Players are going to have to make that choice. Coaches are already making that choice. And at a certain point in the next couple of weeks, teams will make that choice as well. Is this guy worth the risk? As opposed to somebody who's not as risky when it comes to a potential outbreak for our team. Things are going to get very interesting. The NFL announced this on Thursday. And by Friday, we already had a coach without a job because of this idea or rule. The NFL has more control over the coaches in the front office, not the players. They can't force the players to get vaccinated. They can just encourage them by saying, we'll forfeit games instead if you don't get vaccinated and you lead to an outbreak that keeps the game from happening. We'll see what transpires in the next couple of weeks when it comes to the players making these decisions and the teams making decisions on building their rosters. They'll have to assess the risk-reward. DeAndre Hopkins, if he doesn't want to get vaccinated, it's still worth the risk. He may cost you a game with a forfeit, but it'll also help you win a bunch of games over the course of the year. You'll take those chances. But for the third-string linebacker who may not get a ton of snaps this year, probably not worth that risk. Right, he may not even play in the games, but still lead to an outbreak that could cost you a game with a forfeit. Story number two also comes from the football world, and it's Oklahoma and Texas potentially joining the SEC. Now, when this story first came out, and we talked about it on Thursday, I had a much different opinion. I did not think this would actually transpire. I thought that this was more like a leverage play. Fast forward 4 days to now, and I feel like it's almost a given at this point. According to all reports, right? Everybody seems to believe that, oh, yeah, this is happening, and it's going to happen sooner than you think. Because that's the other thing I discussed on Thursday, about how the contract is not up till after 2024. That's when they can make the move. But more reports have come out over the weekend that Texas and Oklahoma would be willing to pay out, you know, buy themselves out of the contract to get out of the Big 12 and go to the SEC. And I've seen three different numbers float around. I've seen $70 million. I've seen that it would cost $80 million. I've seen that it would cost each team about $140 million. I don't know which number is the accurate one. But we do know it would cost a lot of money for Texas and or Oklahoma to leave the Big 12 sooner than 2025 to join the SEC. But also, according to reports, they're willing to spend that money in order to do it. And if you follow the reports and read everything that's being put out there, the timeline that they believe, those covering this, essentially is that today, I haven't seen anything yet, but today Texas and Oklahoma, they're expected to tell the Big 12 today, if not later in this week, that they plan on leaving the Big 12. Then from there, we will get to a vote of SEC teams. The belief is that this could all transpire by the end of this week. And SEC teams will then vote on if they want to allow those two programs to join their conference. I originally thought that they wouldn't get the votes because certain schools don't want other schools from the same state coming in, which is what Texas A&M's whole beef is. And I thought those schools, South Carolina, Kentucky, Florida, Georgia, would team up with Texas A&M knowing or understanding where they're coming from. But the recent reports over the weekend suggest that those schools no longer feel the way they did about a decade ago, the last time we went through all this. Therefore, the SEC may actually vote to allow these schools to enter. And if that's the case, then Texas and Oklahoma would be willing to spend that money to get out of the Big 12 and join the SEC as soon as next year. That's the reported timeline of what to expect this week. We'll see if things transpire like that. But reports have been this could happen a lot quicker than you think. And in the next 7 to 10 days, we may already have official word, okay, this is going to happen, and it's going to happen for next year. Because if Oklahoma and Texas are actually going to leave, you might as well do it now, rip that Band-Aid off, instead of waiting for 4 years. Now, why is this happening? Same idea as why the memo was sent out by the NFL, because of money. Oklahoma and Texas would want to join the SEC because of money. Not an easier path to win the national championship. It's the opposite, but they'll make more money. Why would the SEC or the SEC teams vote to allow them to come in, making things only tougher for your Tennessees, your Kentuckys, your South Carolinas, your Vanderbilts, your Missouris to try to win a conference? Well, again, because of money. It'll help them make more money as well. It's not going to help them win more games. It'll have the opposite effect. It comes down to money. But I don't think it's the best thing for us as fans. Because I compared it earlier to like the wrestling world where you used to have all sorts of different fractions and companies and different territories and different areas. And then eventually we got to a point where now known as the WWE became so powerful that they inherited everyone. And they were like the only show in town at the turn of the century. And many believe that that's when the product really fell off. Or I think back to Ticketmaster. Because my buddies and I growing up, we used to go to concerts all the time. And I still get out to a show every once in a while. But back in the day, we used to get all the acts to come to the Northeast. We'd go and see them. And Ticketmaster was the main source to get tickets. Then here came Live Nation, and now you had a battle. Competition is always good. And it helped keep the fees down, and you're not paying as much. And then Live Nation disappeared, and they became part of Ticketmaster. And again, Ticketmaster was the monopoly. They were the only ones selling tickets. You want to go to a concert, you could get them secondhand on StubHub. But otherwise, if you want to get actual tickets from like the real source, you got to go to Ticketmaster. And now they're charging you whatever you want. The fees are as much as the tickets themselves. And my point in bringing all that up is that we as the consumers suffer when there is a lack of competition. You'll see it with certain companies now, like an Amazon or a Google. They got you over a barrel. And same idea with the SEC in the college football world. The SEC is already the best conference in college football. Now you're adding Oklahoma and Texas. The Athletic ran a story where one SEC source told them that they want Clemson next. You know, who knows when this will stop, where it will stop, how many teams the SEC will try to get to join them. And they're the best conference. So these schools would like to be there. And I don't think it's good as a college football fan to have one conference be so powerful. The Big 12 would disappear. We would be down to four power conferences. I don't think that's good. The SEC would be more dominant than ever before. I don't think that's good. If you're a Big Ten fan, if you're an ACC fan, if you're a fan of just parity in college football or the spread of power throughout college football, and if you're a fan of most SEC teams, it also wouldn't be good for you. I don't think this helps South Carolina. I don't think this helps Tennessee, Missouri, Kentucky, almost the entire SEC. Alabama won't have to worry. Georgia, I would put in that category that they'll be fine. All right, like an LSU, Florida, they'll be able to keep up, certainly with Texas, with Oklahoma as well. But the second half of the SEC, you are already in an uphill battle in the toughest conference in college football, and now it's only going to get better with Oklahoma and Texas, specifically Oklahoma. The last 10 years, Texas would be rated as the ninth best team in the SEC based off of winning percentage and rankings the last 10 years. But if Texas ever gets back to where they were about 15 years ago, then it makes it even tougher for these other schools. Even an Ole Miss, Mississippi State, your path just got harder. I think it's a loss for a lot of people involved in all of this, except for when it comes to making your money. And that's the big win that people usually care about most. That's why this is happening. That's why what's happening in the NFL is occurring. We're trying to mandate vaccines because the owners want to make sure they get their money. And they're threatening the forfeit to get more players vaccinated to make sure we get all these games actually in and never actually have to forfeit a game. It's just the threat to keep it from actually happening. That's the Big 2 at 2. Two biggest stories going on, of course, come from the football world, and neither really have to do with the games themselves, but more have to do with making money. Because we know at the end of the day, that's all these companies and rich people care about, making money. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Let's go to the phones. Richard is with us. Richard, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I haven't been able to listen to your show as much since you moved from 12 to 3.
Oh, well, I appreciate you listening today and giving us a call. What's going on?
Yeah, I got to drive around a little bit, so I was listening. I'm excited about the expansion stuff. You know, we don't have football right now, but anything football-related is accepted. So I have heard rumors about, like, the SEC reaching out to Florida State, Clemson, Ohio State, and Michigan. Now, if that were the case, obviously SEC would be a super conference. I don't know where you'd go. Seems like it would be one super conference or two super conferences is the way we're headed. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, Richard, and appreciate you listening. We touched on this a little bit earlier, but that is my concern. Because I said people never give anything back, right? You ever give somebody like I can't think of a great example. You give them a lot of money, right? It's like they're never going to give it back to you. You give somebody a better position at work, they're not going to come into your office one day and give it back and say, you know what, I don't want this promotion. Send me back to the job I had. Not many people will do that. And if you give somebody power, they certainly won't relinquish that power that they have over you in the workplace, in a relationship, or just in general. And I think starting this, by opening this box, you're giving more and more power to whether it's the SEC, the people that make the big decisions. And look, they need the votes in order to get Oklahoma and Texas in. If enough SEC schools didn't want this to happen, it's not going to happen. I think they will get the votes. But my point being, right, people don't give back power. And when you show, say, Greg Sankey or his colleagues or even the ADs at Alabama, the top schools of the SEC, show them what they can potentially pull off, it gives them that idea. They're like, wait a minute. Yeah, let's keep going with this and build that super conference. Now, I did see that report. I don't know if that it's hard to tell, especially through social media, if something is true or if somebody is either joking around or BSing, because you never know context through text. You don't know tone. They just put something out there. You don't know if it's sarcastic. You don't know if they're joking around, if they're pulling your leg, if they're being serious. And I believe that report came from one of the guys at Barstool Sports, which is another one. You never have any idea because they're just like a goofy. They're not necessarily a big J journalism. They're just trying to have a fun time putting out, you know, silly podcasts and videos and content, and that's what it's about. Now, they do break some news and have reporting, but that was one that I haven't seen reported elsewhere. But at the end of the day, would the SEC love to also add Clemson and Florida State? Of course they would if they had the opportunity. So that would be my concern, is that you open this box, you go down this path, and maybe years from now, maybe it's 20 years from now, who knows? But you get to that point where you're talking about the European Super League in the soccer world. They look around and think, like, forget these other guys. Forget Vanderbilt football. They're doing nothing for us. Let's replace them with the Florida. Let's go build a super conference. We already have most of the teams here. We just need a few more. And that would be my concern. Now, I gave you my list. If I was building a super conference today, I gave you my 16 teams. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Texas, Michigan, Notre Dame, Florida, Georgia, USC, Oregon, Penn State, Miami, Florida State, LSU, Auburn. Those would be my 16 teams. That if I was, say, Greg Sankey, sitting in my office today thinking like, oh man, I would love to put together a Super League. That would be my dream list, the 16 programs I would go after because of a combination, mostly their brand, their popularity, the money they make, but also their on-field success as well. Wisconsin, Nebraska, even Tennessee would be the next portion of teams that I just leave out. But those would be the 16 I would go with if I ever built a super conference. A lot of those are already in the SEC or will be once Texas and Oklahoma joins. You're already about halfway there. That would be my concern, though, down the road. Would that be a possibility, or at least a possibility in the near future? I don't know. Maybe it's pie in the sky. But people don't give things back. You continue to give them more power of building the SEC, building it up and up and up and up. Who knows when it's going to stop? Because if it was up to the SEC, I'm sure they would love to have all those teams. They would love to have Michigan and Ohio State and Clemson. And no longer would you call them the Southeastern Conference. It would just be the Super Conference. That's what the new SEC could be. Come up with something for E. But the Super Conference, the Super Elite Conference, that's what it'd be. That'd become the new SEC. And just pick the 16 best programs out there. And that would kind of be my concern moving forward. You give an inch, they take a mile. Right? South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Missouri, they say, sure, bring these other teams in. And then at a certain point, they're going to be passed by the powers that be that look around and say, like, we don't need these other programs. We could replace them with even bigger programs. Will that ever happen? I have no idea. But it would be a concern I would have in the back of my mind. Like, where do you draw the line in all of this? Or are we just going to continue to move to that Super League idea and leaving everyone else to figure it out themselves? Coming up, DJ Uyangale believes he has the state figured out. We'll get to that coming up. And you can continue to join the conversation. 843-721-9500. It's the Maurer Midday Show. Right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Maurer Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I had to leave town because of Uncle Sam's deal. Yeah. Well, I guess my good loving done lost its appeal. Because when I come back, I heard the bad, bad news.
Coming up, Clemson's new quarterback believes he's got this area all figured out. The Maurer Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Speaking of college football, it's right around the corner. And ESPN Radio Charleston wants to kick off the season with a good old-fashioned golf tournament. So come out and represent your college team with your foursome at Stono Ferry, Thursday, August 19th. And how about this? The winning foursome will get tickets to the homecoming game of their favorite college team, courtesy of ESPN Radio Charleston, 98.9 FM. So if you're an Oregon fan and you know enough buddies around here that like to golf, come on out, wear your duck stuff, and if you have the best score, your foursome wins the golf tournament, we will send you out there to homecoming this year, all the way out there. It doesn't matter. We'll send you to the University of Maine. We'll send you to wherever, Wyoming, Ohio State, Miami, wherever. You're a fan, you win, your foursome wins, you're going to that homecoming game. Not only that, but you also get some swag for your team if you win and a picture, a framed photo of your favorite team's stadium to hang in your office or man cave or whatever it may be. The tournament, as mentioned, Thursday, August 19th at the Links at Stono Ferry, but you can sign up today. Head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com and register your foursome. Select which college team you are going to represent. And go out there and have some fun in a few weeks to kick off college football. Breakfast will be provided. Lunch will be provided. It's a 10 a.m. start on Thursday, August 19th at the Links at Stono Ferry. And again, the winning foursome will be sent to homecoming regardless of where it is. We'll get you there. It's the kickoff to college football golf tournament. Register today online at charlestonsportsradio.com. I heard that we already have teams representing West Virginia. Apparently, for some reason, there's a big West Virginia fan base around here. A lot of Mountaineer alum in the area. and NC State, and, of course, Clemson, South Carolina. There may have been a few others so far. I know there's plenty, because I hear from you all the time, plenty of Citadel fans out there, and I know you love to golf. It's not, you know, you talk about getting sent to homecoming. You don't, you could drive, it's right down the road, but you'll get tickets at least, right? The big thrill is if you are, say, West Virginia, we'll send you to go to the game, go see them in Morgantown. So, you know, it's a little bit different the further away. But plenty of Citadel fans around here. I hear from you Furman fans and Wofford fans. Sign up, go have some fun, play in the golf tournament, and have a chance to win some prizes for your favorite school. As I said last week, I'm very curious to see how many different schools we'll get, because this area, like we talked in the show last week, the Lowcountry here, it's becoming very transient. People from all over that like all different sports teams and different colleges, or you went to college somewhere else, came back home here to South Carolina afterwards. And so I'm sure we could get all sorts of different schools represented. Register today online, charlestonsportsradio.com. We've been talking a lot about the SEC potentially welcoming in Oklahoma and Texas. I loved this audio that came out of the SEC media days last week. This is Missouri offensive lineman Case Cook, when he was asked while talking at the SEC media days last week, when he was asked about this potential report. Here's what Case Cook had to say.
I guess it would be cool, but I mean, I wouldn't be around to play him, so I don't. But if you can't handle like a horns down gesture, I figure it'll probably be tough to play in this league.
Case Cook with some fighting words for Texas. If you can't handle a little taunting, how are you going to handle playing in the SEC every week? I love it. And he does have a point. I imagine this year they're not going to enforce that rule they were talking about, the horns down, because I'm sure everyone else in the Big 12 is very upset today with Texas and Oklahoma. And so this year, they're probably going to want to beat Texas and throw it in their faces. Maybe the players don't care as much. There could be a little sense of like betrayal or just like they're bailing on you, even as a player. But I'm sure there's a lot of administrators today in the Big 12, and especially the Big 12 commissioner, Bob Bowlsby, who's sitting there very upset with all this, because this is going to ruin the Big 12 moving forward. You can always join the conversation. We'll get to DJ in just a moment. But you can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Let's go to the phones, because Super Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
I'll be curious to see what the playoff committee does when it's Oklahoma. It was so tough last year. Just think of, they can't include them out this year when they go to the SEC, if it's possible that it will happen. But when it does happen, imagine the impact they could play in the whole playoff circumstances.
Yes. Well, for Oklahoma, it's interesting for an Oklahoma, because they have an easier path right now to make it to the playoff in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is also, if you go to the SEC, especially once we expand to 12 teams, you know, you'll take more 2 or 3 loss SEC teams than from the Big 12. We take more SEC teams. So in a sense, in that way, maybe Oklahoma will benefit, and even a Texas, from being in the SEC when it comes to trying to make the playoff.
And it's hard to believe. It's exciting that high school football would be around the corner on 11 days to go, actually less. I think it's next Monday they go out to practice with high school football. And I miss the old Sertoma football classic days.
Yes.
Man, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And also we got 23 days, and it'll be college football, the small schools, but that's when UCLA and Hawaii plays on the 28th, so that might be an interesting game.
That's right. How many days is that?
I think it's 23 more days.
23? What, you think today's August 5th?
No, it's July 26th today.
Yeah.
There's only 5 days left of the month.
Yeah, but I thought you said they play on August 28th. When do they play?
August 28th.
Yeah. So 28 plus 5, right? 33.
33? Well, I had 3 shots today, so I'm whatever. But anyway.
All right, so we got 7 days till high school football, 33 days till college football.
Uh-huh.
We got, I think, 10 days till the NFL preseason next Thursday.
Yep. So it's coming around the corner, man.
That's right.
You ought to have Ken French and do the rules and changes and whatever coming up.
Yes. Appreciate the call, Super Dave. That's a good idea. I don't think I've heard that one yet. I don't think that's been recommended yet by Super Dave himself. Still trying to do our jobs around here. Appreciate it, Super Dave. I was going to ask him what his favorite chicken place was, because when we come back, DJ Uyangale believes he has this area all figured out. He has the list of priorities straightened, and he already has his first deal for name, image, and likeness, the new quarterback of Clemson. We'll get to all that next. The Mar Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, DJ Uyangale believes he has the area all figured out. Get to that here in the Mar Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. You ever have a problem around the house? You think, I can't fix that? Don't worry, because the Canty Foundation Specialist can. Check them out online, CantyCanFixIt.com, or give them a call, 843-484-3625. Because Canty knows how tough it can be to find a contractor that you can trust. And they offer warranted solutions and a free, no-obligation estimate for all foundation repair services. And this time of year, you're running around the yard without the shoes on. Kids are playing out by the pool. You got people over. You got to be careful. If you have concrete around your home that's cracked or uneven, such as a sidewalk, driveway, patio, pool deck, the Canty Foundation Specialists offer the repair options you need to help you protect the look of your concrete, plus the value of your home, and maybe most importantly, the integrity of those little toes. So contact them for a free estimate today, the Canty Foundation Specialist. Online at CantyCanFixIt.com or give them a call, 843-484-3625. Clemson's new starting quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei, has his first partnership through name, image, and likeness, and it's with Bojangles. Here was it was like a commercial that they posted online, DJ and two of his offensive linemen eating Bojangles and talking about it. Here's his first little commercial for his new partner, Bojangles.
My name is DJ Uiagalelei. Here eating Bojangles with my two offensive linemen.
It's Bo time, baby. Ooh, this food is too good.
Too good. I remember the first time I went to Bojangles, it was fire. I think I had a blueberry biscuit. It was digging, man. It's Bojangles, man.
It looks good.
It looks real good.
Like, you know what you're going to get, and you know it's going to be good.
And it's going to be the same every time. That's consistency.
And that was it. DJ now partnering with Bojangles. He said in the press release, coming from California, I've learned that this area is serious about three things. Number one is faith. Number two, college football. And number three is their Bojangles. I'm excited to be working with a brand that has become my go-to since coming down here. As he said in that video clip, it's fire. First time he went to Bojangles, he realized it's fire, which I think means that's cool. I think that's what the hip kids say now for cool or really good. Oh, that Bojangles is fire, let me tell you. And they were talking about the blueberry biscuit. Now, Joe, do you think he has his priorities straight? Faith, football, and then Bojangles, number three for the state of South Carolina?
I think the first two he has right. The third one, a lot of people like Bojangles, but then when it comes to chicken or other fast food, you're going to get all sorts of responses.
Are you a Bojangles guy?
They're not bad.
I think I've only had Bojangles once in my entire life, and it was when I moved here to town, and I think it was during one of our road trips for Citadel football. We stopped off. One of the people I was with at the time, they really liked Bojangles. I never had it. I said, sure, I'll try it. I think that's the only time I've ever had it. And, you know, it was okay. I mean, I haven't gone back. Not because it was bad, but it wasn't like, ooh, I got to have this more often. But Bojangles. DJ believes those are the priorities around here, or at least in the upstate of South Carolina. Faith, football, and then Bojangles number three. Now I'm looking at a list here at RedBookMag.com of the best fast food chicken ranked. They took 12 places and ranked them. McDonald's is number 12. I agree. McDonald's would be at the bottom of my list as well. I do not like the McNuggets. I do not like the chicken at McDonald's. I also, as a kid, I think it was like a bone. I don't know. I took a bite into a nugget once as a kid. I don't remember it specifically well, but I remember there being something and it just turned me off. It scarred me. I was like, I don't really want to eat these nuggets anymore. I remember where we were in the car driving to a winter camp that we used to go to every year for our little the tribe group, you know, like Boy Scouts back in the day. And it turned me off from McDonald's nuggets. They would be number 12. This list has KFC number 11. I actually like KFC. I think KFC is underrated. I enjoy KFC. I haven't had it in a long time, but it's really good. Red Book Magazine puts Bojangles number 10 only. They say it's one of the least remarkable contenders in the fast food fried chicken race. Ooh, that is a shot to Bojangles, the opposite of what DJ is saying. Let's see, finishing up this list. Church's is number 9. I don't think I've had Church's chicken before. I see them all over the place. I know people love Church's as well. Wingstop is 8. I don't really put that in the same category as these other fast food places. Raising Cane's is 7. I had Raising Cane's for the first time during the pandemic last year when we were all shut down. I went out. I got some Raising Cane's. That was my big day out. You know, I was quarantining. I was staying away from everybody. I went and got some Raising Cane's. And I thought, this is what everyone's been talking about all these years? I was a little disappointed. Haven't tried it again. Red Book Magazine puts Shake Shack number 6. I've never had the chicken at Shake Shack. I don't think of chicken when I think of Shake Shack. Zaxby's number 5. Love Zaxby's. What is this? Jollibee? Never heard of that. Jollibee's number 4. Hattie B's is number 3. I just saw Hattie B's. I was in Nashville over the weekend. They have their hot chicken. I didn't try it. I should have. Chick-fil-A's number 2. I've always said Chick-fil-A's a little overrated. And Popeye's number 1 on Red Book Mag. I do enjoy some Popeye's. Those biscuits, you get those biscuits hot right out of the oven. Oh, they are so good. And the chicken's pretty good as well. And I like those fries. Popeye's number 1. Bojangles was only number 10 on this list. But Clemson's new quarterback would tell you that Bojangles number 3 on the list of priorities here in South Carolina. I'll have to give it another try, Bojangles. I think I've only had it once. Hey, I want to tell you about Lyerly's dry cleaners. Now easier than ever before. They're to-go service. They can pick up or deliver right to your home or office. They handle shirts, suits, casual wear, as well as curtains, comforters, and regular old household laundry. You can even track your dry cleaning now to see exactly when it will be ready or delivered. Just call or text them, 843-377-6994, to schedule a free pickup. And mention that you heard about Lyerly's right here on ESPN Radio Charleston and get 20% off your next order. Lyerly's dry cleaners, now their to-go service, easier than ever before. I just realized they didn't have Wendy's on this list. That's a huge miss. Wendy's, for me, when I think of fast food, I think Wendy's, Burger King, McDonald's, and then like maybe like an Arby's. You know, like I even Chick-fil-A is its own category. Popeye's, they're its own category. But places where you can get, where they don't just specialize in one area, where you can get a little bit of everything. Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, and then I think I'd even throw Arby's in there, even though they're all about like the roast beef. I don't get a fast food place based on cold cuts. I want a nice burger. But Wendy's is number 1 for chicken. And they didn't even make this list. They have McDonald's on here, not Wendy's. Wendy's is the best. I love the chicken at Wendy's. The burgers are the best at Burger King. The fries are the best at McDonald's. And the chicken is the best at Wendy's. They all offer something. But Bojangles, at least according to Red Book Magazine, not quite the number 1 stop like DJ believes it is. Maybe in this region, but not overall. Coming up, we'll wrap up your Monday afternoon. A warning from a time traveler. Should we take it seriously? Should we start getting concerned? I'll let you know what it is when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio. Don't start none, won't be none. Hey.
Fun, a funky finish to your Monday afternoon here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Coming up, a warning from a time traveler. So we need to start preparing for what's ahead. Get to that before we go here on this Monday. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston to find the podcast however you listen to your podcast. You can also find the show on demand online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through our free app. Just search ESPN Charleston in the App Store, download that app, and listen to the show on demand there. And while you're at it, you can download that app. You can listen to the show from anywhere in the world. Plus, you can also take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker, or again, our app. Just search ESPN Charleston. Appreciate listeners checking in from at least 6 different states and multiple countries here on this Monday afternoon as we start off another week. Before we go, let me leave you with apparently a warning from a couple of different time travelers. This has become a thing. Thank goodness for TikTok. Now that we have TikTok, we can have a platform for all these time travelers so that we can learn about the future. So a TikTok user named Future Time Traveler, who has posted multiple videos about his time traveling experiences, has been trying to warn many on TikTok. And he posted a video with a bunch of text about the future, which claims aliens will make their first appearance on Earth next year. The exact date they are first sighted is May 24th, 2022. That's what this time traveler said. And he also said, oh, here we go with these ads popping up. He also said in this that the mythical creatures are called Nirons and will come in peace. Okay, so that's good news. But he also says that the U.S. will not trust these aliens. They will attack said aliens, starting an interdimensional war. He also said the aliens will be 7 feet tall. So we're talking about 7-foot aliens coming here in May of next year. And are initially coming in peace, but being us Americans being so frightened that we attack said aliens, and then they it starts a huge war that I believe, according to this time traveler, does not end well for us. He also previously, in a TikTok video, predicted the world's biggest earthquake will hit California in 3 years. That was his other claim that he apparently saw while he was time traveling. But his big warning, May 24th. So if you have like a wedding planned, if you have something on the bucket list you wanted to do, I guess you better accomplish it prior to May 24th, 2022. Hopefully the Gamecocks have a great year this year. All right, hopefully they, somehow the Falcons win a Super Bowl before the aliens come on May 24th, 2022. That's the message from this time traveler. May 24th, 2022, 7-foot aliens are going to come into this country and start a war. Should we start preparing today? Joe, do you buy it? The prediction of aliens coming to come start a war. Well, I guess we'll start the war. 7-foot aliens landing here May 24th, 2022. A time traveler is trying to warn us.
Well, let's see. Haven't there been such predictions before? And they did not come to pass. Didn't we have an end of the world prediction back in 2012?
Yeah, a few different times over the years.
Okay, none of them have come to pass.
But this guy is a time traveler. He has seen it before, and he's come back to warn all of us. He's an official time traveler as well, made official by himself, of course. The best way to prove what you're saying is legitimate. Then there's also this one. As I said, thank goodness for TikTok. I'm not on TikTok, but this seems to be a great app to be able to get the warnings from all these time travelers. A time traveler, another one. This is another time traveler on TikTok. He says, through his videos on TikTok, he claims to have visited 2027, and now he's back here in 2021. And he posted a video from apparently 2027. Now, he is living in another country, and all his videos were in Spanish. I'm not sure which country this is, but he's in another country. He posted on TikTok a video of him walking around in his city where it's completely empty. There is nobody around. It's very odd. The sun is out. It's during the day, but there's nobody around. It's very reminiscent of if you ever saw the movie Vanilla Sky. There's a great scene with Tom Cruise in Times Square when there's nobody around in New York City during the day, and it's kind of a creepy scene. I think it ends up being a dream. Spoiler alert. From a movie 20 years ago. But he's driving around. There's nobody on the road, nobody on the sidewalks, nothing. He's the only person around. This guy posts a video on TikTok, same idea. He's walking through whatever city this is, and he's showing he's going through a department store. Walk through a department store, there's nobody around. And he's like in a mall, going down the escalator, nobody around. And he says that this video is from February 13th, 2027, and I am alone in the city. Humanity has been extinct. There is no one in the shopping centers. This is what he said. So if it's not the aliens in May of 2022, apparently humanity will be extinct by 2027, according to this time traveler named Javier, who was posting a video from some other country where nobody was around. Now, he did, I think he even in this video, was in hospitals, all this stuff. But people pointed out a couple of different things. Number one, why were the shelves, why was everything still stocked in the store that you were walking through? But others would say that humanity was wiped out so quickly, right? All the clothes was left in the store. And also, without human, how are you, you know, posting said videos from 2027? I guess he was still able to come back to present day and post. Anyways, if you want to know what's going to happen in the future, get yourself on TikTok and follow these time travelers who are giving us all sorts of warnings about what's ahead. Apparently, aliens are heading here in May of 2022, and by 2027, humanity will be extinct. So that's what we have to look forward to. So if you're the Gamecocks, you better get it taken care of, right? Win your national championship this year or in the next couple before 2027. My Minnesota Vikings better win a Super Bowl this year while we still can, before the 7-foot aliens land from Niron and start a war. Thank goodness for these official time travelers and TikTok helping all of us. Start building the bunkers today. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast, online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through our free app, ESPN Charleston. You're welcome for the advice. You heard it here first. 7-foot aliens, May 24th, 2022. Start your preparations today. And with that, allow me to say life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we have to say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow at noon with plenty to do. For more Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.